Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of AI Trenderated Sandwiches. I am Jack. That is Miles.
Yes.
And just when I, like, mere days after we had the episode where we're like, AI sucks. They're never going to do something I like. We have possibly the most compelling AI content that I've seen, Miles.
And by
I'm not saying it's good.
No. I think it also says, at this point in the day, we're fucking starving. That's the other part, too. I'm so fucking hungry out of my fucking mind right now that, like, this person at Yahoo, it's unnamed. Is there a person attributed to this article, or is this
it's probably written by AI?
It's fucking crazy.
Artificial intelligence.
It says, I asked AI to make a sandwich for each U.S. state, and 50% of them should be tossed straight into the garbage. I disagree. That could also be because I'm hungry, and it could also be because I think the bar is so low for generative AI in my mind.
Oh, I thought that was you editorializing.
No.
That is what the... Oh, this is from BuzzFeed. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
They... Like, the hits look great, you know?
They look like legit
sandwiches.
Like,
we kick it off with Alabama, and it's like a fried chicken sandwich with just, like, pickles and coleslaw all over
the
shit.
It's like white gravy. Yeah.
White
or maybe
gravy?
That's the mayo from the slaw. Yeah.
But the misses are also interesting.
like Alaska,
Alaska,
which is
right off the bat.
Raw salmon with like blueberries and like purple kale or something.
Yeah, like just nasty purple kale that looks like they pulled it out of a ditch or something. It's just
Arizona,
marinating and fucking antifreeze.
Arizona just looks like a deep fried chimichanga kind of thing. Yeah, whatever. Fine. Fine.
Stuffed chicken, I believe, is what they are calling it.
Delaware. It's interesting. Delaware has the Bobby, which is from what's that fucking place called? Ah, oh, shit.
The Babby? Australia.
No, no, not Babby.
Yeah, you're talking about the Babby?
Fucking Capriati's, that place that has a sandwich called the Bobby that's basically turkey and stuffing and stuff. I think they're a Delaware-based chain, but then the Delaware sandwich is basically this, like, Thanksgiving sandwich.
Connecticut is interesting. So it's like, it looks like it's like fried calamari on a potato roll, but in fact, it is just crispy batter and sauce in a roll.
So you're
just like, just give me the batter.
Fried batter. Yeah.
Some of them seem like they're trying to insult the state that they were generated for.
I think the most disrespectful one might be Idaho.
That was just Idaho.
Potato, slice it like thin sliced, like raw potato on a roll with nothing on it, which is
bread with
being
a
like,
large potato is what it's called. Looks like shit. Indiana, appropriately, just corn chowder sandwich. So again, like a lot of these just feel like, you know, the good stuff is like fun, and you know, the image work is good. The bad stuff is fun because it is like clearly created by something without a human mouth.
Yeah.
That has never tried to attack a sandwich, you know?
Ever.
And doesn't. Yeah. They like know conceptually what a sandwich is.
But yeah. They know New York's a bacon, egg, and cheese. So like they made a nice bacon, egg, and cheese. But then Texas is just like a brisket sandwich on top of another brisket sandwich. I think kind of lean into like, I don't know, everything's just gigantic in Texas kind of aesthetic.
And then Vermont for some shit.
Yeah. Vermont is just a sandwich just drenched in maple syrup, like disrespectfully. Yeah. But anyway, hey, I'm hungry. I think that's the other thing is too. I just think I'm immediately like, oh, these are so fucking good. But it's just because like there's nothing You're really so novel about it. They're like, what about a chicken sandwich? I'm like, yeah. What about a bacon, egg, and cheese? Please.
Yeah, I'm so hungry.
Yeah.
Just give me anything.
Nebraska looks like it's got a Runza.
New Hampshire says bread piled and jelly poured over.
Are we missing something with New Hampshire?
I don't know. Maybe. It looks like a murder has occurred on the plate. Like it would be impossible to eat. But North Carolina is just a shredded brisket barbecue sandwich, but they've poured the barbecue sauce on top of the sandwich as well as like inside of it.
It's not how that works.
That's not how sandwiches work, my man.
Whatever.
Oklahoma, someone jacked off all over this fried chicken. Oh, no, fried chicken and gravy. Never mind. Anyways, Trump is in the news. Have you seen this guy? Have you heard about him?
I know him.
He's warning Haley donors. Yeah, you're a big donor campaign.
His emails, he's like, you're not a loser, are you? I'm like, no.
What?
And you're a patriot, aren't you? Yeah. Give me $20. Okay.
Being led around by the nose.
Yeah.
He's warning Haley donors that if they give another cent to her, they will be basically excommunicado from his
MAGA treehouse of horrors.
How long into his next term until he starts appropriating some of the like kind of more flamboyant drip of the papal state?
Ooh. Oh, like he's like and also president cannot wear a suit anymore. He must wear these ceremonial silk robes.
Yeah. I feel like he is like his whole design aesthetic is very papal, you know? Like he just wants everything to be gold embossed.
Yeah.
I would love to see him in a Pope hat. I'd love to put you in a Pope hat, brother.
Oh man. Donald, can I call you that, man? I just see you in a Pope hat, just Ponty flexing on all these people, just stunting on them. We can see it right now. But it's interesting because like, despite his like status as presumptive nominee, he's definitely getting sweaty over Haley not dropping out. Like, I think it's just merely the fact that it's not a wrap for him right now. It's probably the thing. I know a lot of people want to read into it, be like, oh, he's scared. But I mean, I think he's also just a misogynist too. And doesn't
he's a misogynist
like,
and he doesn't know how to not be in a conflict with someone. So like this is the only mode. Like if she had dropped out, he'd be, I guess, on to Biden, maybe. I don't know. But
yeah. But it is interesting. A lot of people point out that like she's actually the best foil for Trump because anybody on the Democratic side of things saying like, oh yeah, Trump is a friggin' loon. It's like, we've heard that all the time, but you
Trump's
have Nikki,
on a real normal one today.
Yeah.
Not.
But then you have Nikki Haley being like, this guy is cooked cabbage in his upstairs part of his head. And we need to figure it out. He's too old and he's nasty. And everyone's like, did you hear? Because I think I forget who was writing about it, but a lot of this stuff, you know, we'll talk about on the show gets clipped out on social media. Sure. It gets circulated on people who are not like on the center right or whatever. Or maybe shows up like on a quick hit on like Chris Hayes' show. But when Nikki Haley was like, yo, did you see this dude confuse me with Nancy Pelosi?
Yeah.
Then everyone is sort of talking about it in a different way. So I don't know. I don't know what that means. I don't think Nikki Haley is probably going to do much, but I will let the sweating continue for Donald Trump.
Yeah. I think the RNC is trying to like shut it down. They're just like, hey, can we stop this? This is a bad look.
Please.
But hopefully she sticks around and keeps doing
it's
whatever
his favorite,
she's doing.
You know, he's doing the thing that she does that he was doing also in 2016. It's just like, come on, maybe just, you know, you're a tough guy. Just let it all happen, buddy. You're gonna, you'll be okay. And it'll be you and sweet Uncle Joe in November.
Oh, boy. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back to tell you why Civil War is trending.
Wow, cliffhanger.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200 percenters. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
And we're back. And so Civil War is trending over this story in Texas. Yeah. The Supreme Court just overruled a federal judge and will allow federal agents to remove the razor wire put up by Texas at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Yeah.
This is razor wire that has made it so that, you know, federal agents saw a woman and her two children drowning in the river and could not get to her because these Texas agents had put up razor wire that specifically, you know, to make it so that nobody could get through, and also, you know, make it so that people abandon all hope, ye who enter here, basically.
Yeah. And just like, yeah, in a very grim way, be like, you must enter through a port of entry to get your case. Do not cross the river or we will honestly, like, literally turn our backs as you perish in the water, which is so fucking dark. Because now, so this Supreme Court decision that's like, okay, y'all, like, they're able to take down that wire because, again, it's the federal government's, it's in their federal government's purview to protect the borders and not the states. But this has kicked off this whole states' rights thing. Texas has basically been like, well, guess what? We don't give a fuck about the Supreme Court. They're back to putting razor wire up because they're like, well, they ruled that federal agents can cut the razor wire, not that we can't put it up. So we'll just keep putting it up right now. And this is like, the second this decision was made, a lot of people on the right were like, oh my God, see the Supreme Court, like even like they're, but this is what's happening with states' rights. Matt Walsh, who we all know is a famous right-wing shitbag who was asked the question constantly, what woman is? on his show was basically fanning the flames here and basically saying, quote, so once red states decide not to go along with them, these Supreme Court rulings, if the red states say, okay, I don't care what you think, we're going to do it anyway, what happens then? What happens when federal agents try to destroy border fencing and state troopers stand in their way? Does Biden send in the military at that point? These might not be hypothetical questions for long. The last civil war was unimaginable until it wasn't. That was a lesson this country learned in the middle of the 19th century. And if the Biden administration is somehow still in office after this next election, then just as abruptly, we might have to learn it again. And basically, the reason this is trending again now is that there are governors from a few other red states, I think around 14 at this point, who are like standing in solidarity with Texas that are like, yeah, like we'll send you resources too. Like, fuck what the Supreme Court says. So, you know, it's an omni crisis right now in the United States.
Yeah.
Just at every corner. And we have this because Texas, like when you really boil it down, it's that Texas wants to do the most inhumane shit to people that are seeking asylum or seeking a better life. And now they want to go rah, rah on Boogaloo Civil War II, because they're like, it's, I guess every civil war is always about one side being like, well, we think people aren't human and should die however the fuck we say.
I like being on the side of the civil war that isn't in favor of people drowning because of razor wire.
Yeah. So here we are. I mean, I don't know. I guess a tale as old as this nation, but it's playing out in a weird way and we'll see for how long. But yeah, that seems to be getting everybody on the right all wrapped up, ramped up, and people have been like, this is it, y'all. This is the call for patriots.
It's go time, brothers. All right. Did you see the trailer for the new Roadhouse, Miles?
I did. And it, to the point where I had to rewatch the trailer for the 1989 original of Patrick Swayze to be like, wait, what the fuck was this movie about? Because the fucking new trailer is wild as fuck.
Yeah. It's Jake Gyllenhaal as former MMA fighter.
Hell yeah.
Well, what's his name? Oh, it's good. They gave him like a real Colton, I think. I forget.
Or Dalton Bangs or some shit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Which I guess Dalton was, I think that was the name of Patrick Swayze in the first one. So the first one is like Patrick Swayze, all 5'3" of his dancing ass, rolls into this like, you know, highway bar and just starts beating the shit out of everybody. Like, he's just so tough. Right. Love a short king. I'm just saying, like, that
he's 5'10.
Swayze?
That's his reported height.
Reported. All right.
Wow. Can he rest in peace?
All right. My bad.
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, the trope in that movie is always like, wow, you're pretty small.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. In Roadhouse, they keep talking about how he's small for like the work that he does.
Yeah, not too small to rip your fucking throat out, dude. Which
bite your fucking eyes, motherfucker.
So Roadhouse, if you're not familiar, is the movie in which Patrick Swayze is such a badass that he literally rips someone's throat out of their neck. Like, just there's a hole in their neck and there's something in his hand. I think he does like an Adam's apple rip, but isn't the Adam's apple just like part of your throat?
I
never
larynx?
Quite understood what he had done, like what he had ripped out.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's like ultra violent, like fist fighting, bar fighting fun.
Right.
And they're like, let's remake it. It's being remade by the guy who made Mr. and Mrs. Smith and the first Bourne movie.
Mm.
Doug Liman or one of the Liman. Yeah, Doug Liman. Yeah. And so it's got just a Jake Gyllenhaal not giving a fuck.
Shirtless.
Treadsville. I think he got real into MMA at one point. I think he was in a different MMA movie at some point. Looks like a lot of fun, a good time at the movies. And Amazon, of course, is just going to release it on Prime, where it might as well not exist.
I know. It's Doug Liman is, but he had a column, like his own guest column in Deadline to just be like, what the fuck is this? Because apparently, like, it's an MGM-owned franchise or IP or whatever, and then Amazon bought MGM. And they're like, they fucking told us that they were going to put up like $1 billion for like the theatrical stuff that was at MGM. And now just he's like, basically what they're doing is they want to chum the subscriber waters with my shirtless, ripped Jake Gyllenhaal and Conor McGregor. Is it about gentrification or some dude trying to build like a resort on top of the Roadhouse, basically?
I'm
is
sure.
that how the first one played out too? Like some rich dude's like, I want the Roadhouse for my resort.
A guy who owns the town, essentially, and then like has a huge militia. That's a really fun movie, the first one. I'm looking forward to this one. It has Conor McGregor trying to act. In the trailer, he's
Do not need.
Really turned up. He's in the trailer.
Like, he's doing that kind of acting where like there's some scenes where he has like you know, be violent and like break shit with like a fucking golf club, and it looked like he was going too hard for acting.
Yeah.
Where it's like, yo, bro, like don't swing that golf club like that fucking hard, man. We're just making a fucking movie here. Like, go
his
work
facial
your shit
expressions
out
the whole time. He's just got this like big crazy smile on his
face.
It's
a character choice, Jack. It's called acting, my man.
Yeah.
Doug
Liman said, so Amazon said they were going to release it in theaters, and now they turned around and are using Roadhouse to sell plumbing fixtures. Amazon will sell more toasters if it has more subscribers. It will have more subscribers if it doesn't have to compete with movie theaters. A computer could come up with that elegant solution as easily as it could solve global warming by killing all humans. All right, Doug.
Hell yeah, whatever, man.
Let's pump the brakes, bro.
Humanity's on the line with this one.
Yes. But I don't know. This does seem like a movie that should have come out in theaters. Fuck Amazon. Truly.
Well, I think, like you said, the first one had a guy getting his fucking throat ripped out.
Yeah.
You want to do that in a theater. You don't want to see a guy get their throat ripped out in a bar fight, like at home in your comfy blanket pajamas or whatever I wear to be comfortable, allegedly. You know what I mean? You want to be in a theater.
So many goddamn plumbing fixtures, I might miss it. You know?
Oh, Jack, I'm upside down on these fucking these PVC pipes I got for my sink I don't even need. Plus, I got 9 toasters, man. Help
you always
me.
Want to buy 30x the amount of PVC pipes that you need for any job, just in case.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Gotta
oh, yeah.
Keep yourself in PVC. You got to stay
100%
flush with PVC.
100%. I mean, I got a rigid snake auger, you know, for my toilet.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, of course.
Do you have an auger? Is it like a toilet
Is
auger?
That the one snake?
The snake, yeah, that like has like the little fucking crank at the
top.
Yeah,
I got that.
Yeah. You gotta have one. Everyone needs one. If you got,
but
if you're
what
doing
to do with it when it's not snaking down and clearing poop?
I know, dude. The way it's like so weird when I see like a loose plunger.
Yeah,
like someone
like,
because like I grew up like we had like it went in like a garbage bag.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
And you like put it somewhere in part of like the back corner of the yard, and you're just like, we don't go there anymore.
Yeah, that's where the plungers stay at. But then like now,
just air around there is contaminated.
Like, I mean, obviously you clean it off and shit like that. But there's something about seeing like toilet tools in a bathroom that I'm like, nah, let's let that be our shame that we put somewhere else.
And finally, it was just announced that Kevin Spacey will make an appearance at the horror-themed fan convention Mad Monster Party next month.
What? The Mad Monster Party in Concord, North Carolina?
you were keeping tabs on this one?
Oh.
You were just waiting for them to announce who they'd have?
I'm on a knife's edge. I was like, will they or won't they? Will they cave to the woke mob and not have Kevin Spacey in attendance?
Yeah, he'll be signing autographs and taking photos with people for $225 a pop. And there are like themed days where like first day will be 7 themed. Like, I don't know if he's going to like dress up in like the prison suit from 7 or what, then Usual Suspects, which doesn't really read as like a horror monster to me.
No,
it's more action movie. And then House of Cards, which again, like seems like it's stretchy. It really feels like they're like, what's scarier than actual sexual predator? Kevin Spacey. Like,
well, we've got something else.
Real human monster.
Yeah. Like old boy from the Dukes of Hazzard. Dukes of Hazzard.
Yeah. The convention will also feature John Schneider, the Dukes of Hazzard star, who recently claimed that President Joseph Biden should be publicly hung. So just
great
like,
crew. Great crew.
Yeah.
great crew of people. I'm just curious, like, it's such a weird, it's like Kevin Spacey isn't in sort of these like seminal roles that would attract the kind of like misogyny brained people who could look past like all the allegations and shit that he's been involved in. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like our Seven fans being like, we stand with you, man. Like, fuck the woke mind virus. Like, it's not like he was Rambo or some shit.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They're like, yeah, I mean,
we
Seven
fuck with
is
K-Pax,
pretty...
man.
Yeah.
K-Pax! Hey, K-Pax and the Billy!
I feel like we could fund the Green New Deal if the government would just allow famous serial killers to go on tour as, like, murder con. And like sign autographs and like sell their like murder artwork.
Right.
Like, I feel like that would sell. That would sell out. Like, people, that's the country we live.
That's
like,
what's
OJ,
so, yeah.
OJ was at a convention in 2005. Like,
yeah, a horror, you know? One. But yeah, even he was like, this feels like kind of a weird look. And I'm even OJ saying this out loud.
Hello, Twitter world. Yeah, he went to a horror convention.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? I honestly, your point about just wheeling out death row serial killers.
Yeah.
That's like, how fucking, I mean, that's what's, that's just so disconcerting for me is like, I can actually see that shit going off.
Oh, it would be huge.
Like Scott and like, Peterson, and people are like, he's innocent, man. I think that's the in a California Innocence Project is now looking into Scott Peterson.
Oh yeah. Interesting.
I don't know what's going on with that. There's apparently new information.
They've been cured of the woke mind virus, the California Innocence Project.
Exactly.
But they haven't been cured of his devastating good looks.
No. And his fans.
The quote from Mad Monster Party organizers.
Mad Monster Party in Concord, North Carolina?
Yes. That was the very same, Miles.
Uh-huh.
Kevin Spacey is one of the most sought after actors in the celebrity appearance space. We couldn't be more excited to be the first to bring him to a show.
What a way to create a like a superlative for somebody who's been canceled.
One of the most sought after actors in the celebrity appearance space.
Oh.
And is that true? I feel like that would be untrue.
No. I mean, who, let's think, who's doing autographs that everybody would, I mean, it would be someone who's like legitimately on top of the pile right now, like Taylor Swift.
Yeah, Taylor Swift is one of the celebrity.
I would
celebrity.
Say it's probably the most sought after, I guess not actor, but maybe that's why they have to be differentiate. Not the most sought after person in the celebrity appearance space. I'm being careful with my language. I said sought after actor.
Thank you. Anyways, shout out to whoever is going to the Mad Monster Party, you know.
Yeah, to get a $225 selfie with Kevin Spacey.
John Doe. Damn.
Oof. Anyway, guys, we are going to be in Concord, North Carolina around the same time, February 16th through 18th, just out of pure coincidence.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with that. You can get a picture with us for $225.
Yeah. That way we can pay for our $225 picture with Kevin Spacey.
Yeah. It is.
It's a coincidence. It's pure coincidence.
Yeah. We are going to be going on K-Pax night, though.
Yeah, we're going K-Pax night. And they are allowing us
the spaceman.
Yeah, they're allowing us in because we're doing cosplay as zombies with the woke mind virus.
That's right. All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending in our sick, sick country. We are
so sick, bro.
Back tomorrow with the whole ass episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other.
Yes.
Be kind to yourselves.
Yeah.
Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy.
No.
And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.